everybody. It's Monday. And we're finally talking about My Friend Dahmer.
Yeah, it's a good little flick.
Somebody recommended that we watch this. This has been on my, to watch list for, forever. And I just never got around to it. And then finally, because I just signed up for Hulu probably, a month ago. And I just noticed, a couple days ago that Hulu had My Friend Dahmer. So I said, fucking finally, I'm going to watch this shit. It came out in 2017. And I can't believe it took me this long to see it. Mm-hmm. But, better late than never, I suppose.
You're in there joking about growth.
I know,
you need
right?
to make a shirt of me fucking like the Hulk busting out saying the fucking growth. Jenny thinks I got Tourette's syndrome.
Well, just because.
It's only when I'm
fucking I was
bed.
Just laying there trying to doze off, and then all of a sudden he just yells a word at random.
Because I was asleep. It's kind of like talking in your sleep. It's like talking in your sleep, when I'm going in and out. I'm in that hypnagogic state,
Yeah. I get you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't do that. Mm. I don't know why.
I do when I'm daydreaming sometimes, or just,
Yeah, because sometimes you're not asleep. Sometimes you just do it, for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're doing other things, you're in the shower or something like that, and all of a sudden you just damn.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Well, shit is happening, though. Shit's happening when I do that.
In your imagination?
Might be happening internally. It might be external. I don't know. It's when I'm relaxed and then something happens or I think of something and I'm like, oh.
God damn.
My thoughts are stronger than other people's thoughts. What I'm talking about? My thoughts and memories are far stronger. I think they are. They're enough to make a fucking physical change in me. I'm like, oh. Damn. Like I got hit or something. Like somebody got punched,
Yeah, he does that all the time, randomly.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
And then I think something bad happened. Just like, whoa, what happened? It's like, did you break something?
No, I might have realized something, remembered something, or thought about something.
Okay, that's fair.
It's all different. It's all different. It all depends on what's going on. It's only when I'm kind of relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Because I guess the filters kind of go away when I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my thoughts kind of can come out, will cause me to actually physically do something, like sleepwalking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Right.
All right. So you want to talk about My Friend Dahmer?
Yeah, why not?
This was a super interesting movie. It's not a horror movie necessarily. And I find it interesting. I would love to know if somebody saw this movie in another country, who didn't know who Jeffrey Dahmer was, perhaps, even though I find that hard to believe that, and that there's anybody in the world that doesn't know who Jeffrey Dahmer is. But I wonder how they would take this movie, not knowing that this dude turned out to be a serial killer. Because it's essentially, it says at the very end that, they show him picking up his first victim. They don't show him killing anybody. So it's kind of this is just kind of his awkward teenage years, which I think was a really interesting kind of. So this, the,
if you ask me, that dude was awkward his whole life, though.
Yeah, I don't know if there was much that
there
could
was
be
no
done
such
about
thing
that.
As his awkward teenage years. That's how that fucker was.
Yeah, he was just an awkward person all around. Awkward. It's nothing wrong with being awkward. A lot of people are awkward, but he was awkward in a very particular way.
When you have a bunch of damn perverted motives and desires and thoughts going on, and that's what's motivating you, of course you're gonna walk around all fucking shy. You don't want anybody to know what's going on. So you're going to feel insecure.
Because you're afraid you're going to get rejected.
Yeah, or people are going to find out what it is you're thinking about.
Yeah.
So you're going to fucking walk around all awkward and uncomfortable. Boy, if they find out that I'm thinking about having sex with these dead bodies, man, and eating them and shit, they're not going to like that. That's what he's,
I mean, at least they're self-aware enough to know that that's bad and that they shouldn't be thinking about that.
Yeah, he was the fucking, maybe, just some gay dude that fucking liked cutting bodies up and eating people and keeping buckets full of dicks underneath the bed. I mean, you might want to be uncomfortable around other people.
Yeah, I do kind of feel
being
like
all
maybe
off into that. Yeah, your jerk off material is a bunch of fucking dried up dicks, dick jerky.
Yeah.
It's like beef jerky, but
I mean,
dick,
like
dick
I said,
jerky.
I'm willing to give people a lot of leeway for whatever, their weird thoughts sexual predilections.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a line.
There's a fucking big point.
There's a line.
Yeah. Yeah.
The line comes when you are hurting people or animals,
Which, sometimes just fantasizing about it is enough to go like, no, you're fucked up. Like, I don't give a shit what you say. Those vores, people fantasizing about eating people, and no, they're fucked up.
That is not a normal.
No, you're fucked up. I mean, they're buying ovens and buying cooking equipment and shit, fantasizing that they're going to eat somebody. Eventually, those fuckers will do it, probably.
I mean, I'm sure a small percentage of them would, sure. Yeah. I mean, I imagine that most of them are probably, like, wouldn't get around to it because they just wouldn't have the balls, unquote, unquote.
Yeah, they don't have the balls and they're afraid of getting caught, but that's what they want to do.
But, yeah, the fact that you would even, like, want to do that or, like, seriously consider it, then probably,
you need to go get help. You know what I mean? I ain't going to say, well, that's my orientation. No, you need to get fucking help.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah. Like, if your fantasies have to do with, like, hurting other people, or like or non-consenting like just, people or animals, then, that's an
issue. You got to go get you some fucking help.
Like I said, if everybody's into it and everybody's, you know, that's fine. But other than that, I don't know. My hair's sticking up really funny. That's, like,
Well, that one German dude was into all that vore shit. He found a dude that wanted to be eaten. So, no, they needed help, those dudes.
Well, obviously.
Sorry.
So the thing, about this movie is that, so the movie came out in 2017, but the graphic novel that it's based on, which is also called My Friend Dahmer, which was written by John Durf, Beck Durf, usually known as Durf, and he knew Jeffrey Dahmer in high school. So he actually plays, you know, a character in this movie. He's played by Alex Wolff, who, if you don't know, he was also in Hereditary, among other things. So he plays that character in this movie, and they show him, like, drawing, you know, doing drawings of Jeffrey Dahmer, doing various Dahmer things, doing a Dahmer, as they used to call it. And those were based on the drawings that would later go on to be in the graphic novel. Now, so, okay. Now, one thing I love about this is that they got the kid that plays Jeffrey Dahmer is Ross Lynch. And I guess I didn't know, like, a huge amount about him, but apparently he's, like, quite famous for being, like, he was an actor on the Disney Channel. So he was in, like, a lot of Disney shows, Disney productions, stuff like that. He's also a singer and shit like that too. So they wanted somebody that could be like Jeffrey Dahmer, but also somebody that was, like, playing against type. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was somebody, it was kind of like what they did with Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy in that Netflix movie, where he's kind of like seen as like this wholesome pretty boy type person, but they want to put him in this like really horrible seedy role.
You know who kind of did that in another movie who was kind of like this? You know, was Robin Williams when he did that.
That's
who
I was thinking of. He was creepy as shit in that movie. Holy crap.
You
want
to see a fucked up movie, see 1 hour photo. Robin Williams fucking does a performance of a lifetime as its fucking creepy ass.
That was
stalker.
The first movie that I saw him in that I was like, wow, he can be scary if he wants to be. Because prior to that, I'd seen him in like Dead Poets Society and stuff like that, but he's always like kind of funny.
Yeah, no,
or like heartwarming.
He scared me in that fucking movie.
He was fucking creepy in that movie.
Can't believe that dude killed himself.
I believe it though, because a lot of comedians have issues like that. Yeah. Well, because, I mean, becoming a comedian, not always, but generally, if you have, like, a sense of humor like that, it's usually, like, a defense mechanism. You're trying to...
Everybody liked that dude, and he had a shit ton of money.
Well, it just goes to show that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Depression doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, just saying.
He also did Millennial Man. Remember that? Or
Millennium Man?
Where he played a robot.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
I
kind of
remember that. I don't know if I saw it, but I remember seeing the trailer.
And I got to get that movie. I'd like to see that one again. Yeah. I liked that one. That's his only two movies I liked.
You didn't like Dead Poets Society?
No.
I liked Dead Poets Society.
No. Well, I only saw bits of it. I just couldn't get into it.
Oh, it's good.
I actually don't like Robin Williams, but I liked those movies.
Yeah.
Well, I associated him from back in the day when he was young and he was just some fucking coke freak doing fucking Mork and Mindy.
Well, yeah, sure. I get that. I used to like Mork and Mindy back in the day. Yeah. But yeah, it's like in small doses, right? Yeah. Because he was very like frenetic, I guess.
He's coked out.
He,
best dude on coke was Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks could get coked out and fucking have you laughing, but it didn't age too well. Another good one was fucking Martin. Steve Martin was fucking funny when he was coked up. Yeah.
But the thing about it too, I think, and I can't remember, but Robin Williams was also in that movie Insomnia, which I think he might have played a bad guy in that one too, and that was also a really good movie.
I gotta see it.
So if you haven't seen that one. It's not the same. It's not like, because Stephen King wrote a like gigantic doorstop of a book called Insomnia. It's not that. It's just had the same title. But so basically, my friend Dahmer kind of concentrates on Jeffrey Dahmer's high school years. And another thing that I did not know prior to watching this movie, I only found this out after, is that the house that they shot in, that was Jeffrey Dahmer's actual house. They shot in his actual house, like that he grew up in. So I thought that was pretty amazing, like in Ohio. So it kind of covers, I think it's set in 1978, right? Because it's kind of like his senior year. It's like it's, you know, a couple years of high school. And it's basically just him being weird, like, and, you know, interacting with his parents. And it's weird because his parents were not, and I think we talked about this a little, because we've done a show about Jeffrey Dahmer before, but his parents were not necessarily, like, abusive, really. I mean, they weren't physically abusive, obviously. I feel like it was more a neglect issue. I mean, his mom had, she had like bipolar or narcissistic personality or something like that. She had like some kind of, and they portray her as very, I think Anne Heche plays her in the movie.
It's a funny thing, you know, it's somebody funny, somebody, I think his name Cowbell in the comics, or in the comments, said, why would a photo take an hour? Ain't that... Why would a photo take a, man, make me feel old.
Yeah.
Used to. Does that really need an explanation, or are they fucking with me?
I think they're probably fucking with
me. Okay. Back in the day, it took time.
Well, 1 hour photo was actually like really
that's
quick
fast.
Because
yeah.
you used to like used way to back days. In the '70s. Well, yeah. it was at least overnight.
Yeah.
Like you'd have to drop it off, and then it would be like a day or two later, and you'd have to go pick
your pictures
up. Develop
all your shit. Yeah.
Because, but then once they had that big machine that they could just like run the shit through there, like they didn't have to.
Yeah.
Like put it all in the stop bath and all that other kind of crap.
Man,
people don't know what I'm talking about.
I knew a kid that worked at one of those little. Remember the old photo mats that used to be a little tiny kiosk?
It was like in the parking lot of strip.
He
mall.
Worked in one of those for a couple years, and during that, when he was in high school, and during that time, he got a shit ton of nude photos because people were taking nudes of each other.
Well, yeah,
not thinking that they were developed by human hand. Shit, they were making copies and shit.
Of course.
Making copies of everybody's fucking nude
photo.
Yeah,
why did they think, like elves were in there doing that shit? It's like, you know.
People thought it was some kind of damn machine that did it.
Well, it is, but I mean, usually if you work for, because even if you go to like Walgreens and shit like that, I don't even know if they have it in there anymore, but they used to have the machine in the back and you could see it.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to check them to make sure they came out, like before you put them in the envelope.
They had people doing whole rolls of nudes and shit. And they were back there making 3 or 4 copies of
get
each one if they were any good, and fucking sharing them and shit. And giving, there was no non-disclosure or privacy fucking agreement. Those motherfuckers got all copies of all your shit.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Fucking funny.
I was just thinking of, fuck, man, what movie was it? I know it was like a movie from the 80s. It might have been Summer School, but I feel like it was like two guys, and they worked in a photo mat. And I remember that one scene of them going, ooh, it's more the redhead with the tattoo. So they were like making copies of it.
I wonder what happened to all those hard copies. They probably got guys out there with fucking scrapbooks and that shit.
Yeah, it was like collecting that
whole
shit.
Whole collections of shit that
somebody's gonna...
of your girlfriend and your wife getting it on. Back in the 80s and the 70s
the
and 80s. Shit.
They with got, terrible hair and a big giant bush.
They got pictures to prove.
Somebody was like fucking vajazzled like bush or whatever. Somebody must have
taken weird BDSM shit going on in the photos. They don't realize people are fucking looking at them. Family dog jumping into the mix and everything.
Damn.
Fucking yeah.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. Man, some real embarrassing shit.
I don't know. Well, like I said, I don't like if you want to take dirty photos like back in the day, it's like obviously why don't you get a Polaroid because then you wouldn't have to take it anywhere.
Yeah, the thing is that that's what the serial killers used, but the fucking the quality was real bad.
Well, yeah, you couldn't get a great picture with a Polaroid. I mean, you know what I mean, but you know what are you going to do? Honestly, the pictures that
digital
you took
cameras revolutionized some shit, people.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
See, back in the old days, you couldn't even take like naked photos. You had to like the shitty. Like you said, it was like the shitty serial killer photos with the Polaroid, unless you wanted like everybody at fucking Eckerd's to see your fucking pictures.
That's funny.
But yeah, so they really kind of go into like his home life, and I really like the guy that plays his dad. I can't remember what the actor's name is. I've seen him in like a ton of other shit. But he comes because his dad in real life was like a chemist, right? Which is how he got all those chemicals for like dissolving all the roadkill animals that he found, like so he could save all the bones and stuff. And it seemed kind of sad because even though his mom was like fucking out to lunch, I mean, she was fucking, I don't know what the hell her problem was. But the dad really did seem aware that there was something kind of the matter with Jeffrey. And he did seem to kind of try to push him into being like more normal. But I think he didn't really know how to communicate with him. And he didn't really know how to be normal because I guess his dad was kind of nerdy too. He was like kind of a science nerd type of guy. So he was kind of trying to like encourage Jeffrey to not be like him. So he was always just kind of like, you know, you need to go out and make more friends here, lift some weights, you know, go do some team sports. So he did seem to be aware that there was something not right with Jeffrey, but I don't think he knew what to do. I mean, this is fucking 70s. It's like, so I don't think they really knew. I don't think they had any like fucking inkling of how bad it could get or how like warped his mind was. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, you didn't really do that back then. You take your kid to like a psychiatrist or put them on medication, or it just wasn't done to any great extent. So I just feel like everyone, they just thought he was awkward or geeky or weird or whatever. And I don't think anybody really knew like the extent of it. And one thing that I've seen a lot of people discuss when they talk about this movie and when they talk about Jeffrey Dahmer is that, you know, should we be, like, I saw this one video earlier. It's like that they're like, well, the movie was like really good, but it bothered them because it's like, well, I feel like they want me to sympathize with Jeffrey Dahmer. And I don't. I can't sympathize with Jeffrey Dahmer because he was a monster. But I'm not sure if that's exactly what the movie is trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
To me, it just looked like they were just trying to tell a story.
Really get the sense that they were trying to make him a victim. I think that they were just kind of showing him the way he was. He was just a very awkward person. There was something the matter with him. And I think a lot of people picked up on that, even if they didn't know what it was. So yes, you can sympathize with him to a degree because it's like, yeah, nobody likes to get picked on. Nobody likes to be awkward or anything like that. But it just kind of seems like that was what happened and that's what he was like. And I think it's better if we understand that serial killers are people, you know what I mean? They do have human qualities. They're not monsters or like they're not another species.
Dahmer, you know, he was kind of different in terms of, you know, your average serial killer. But
yeah,
he there was a lot about him that makes sense when you look at it from the point of view of that the reason why he was awkward was because of what he was thinking about. And he became awkward because of that, and then that further isolated him, and he would think more about that. It was like a vicious cycle.
Right.
So he just went off into damn parallel, a parallel universe of perversion, really, is what you're talking about. He's a fucking pervert.
Yeah.
That's what he was. It's just that very extreme perversion.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing about
and
it...
he said, as a matter of fact, I remember interviews with him. He said that, too. He said that he got deeper into perversion. And, you know, it was just, that's what it took.
I mean, like I said, he didn't really have anybody, even though, you know, the time period that they portray in this movie, where it does seem like he seems like he's trying to come out of his shell a little bit. And he starts hanging out with Durf and a couple of other high school kids. But the problem with that is that even though the kids he was hanging out with were, you know, kind of popular, the thing is, they were hanging out with him. Prior to that, he wasn't really bullied, maybe mildly bullied. He was more just kind of like ignored.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He was just like
neglected.
Yeah, he was just kind of like some kid that sat by himself and no one really like thought about him.
Most of these guys, they come from a background in a social situation where they are of no consequence.
Right.
So that's why they get that way. People that are fucking bullied and picked on, a lot of times they end up just becoming kind of like forged on the anvil of Crom. The hardship fucking pushes them into action. Something about them changes,
and also
or they adapt. And these guys don't. They kind of just regress. Yeah,
they adapt. And also, I feel like people, a lot of times people that are bullied, I think in a lot of ways, it makes you more empathetic toward others because you don't want to make anybody else feel like that. So it, in some ways, you know what I mean? But so he wasn't, you know, he wasn't really picked on like a lot. It was just that he was mostly just inconsequential. Yeah. And the fact that he started doing, like, doing a Dahmer, like, doing all that, like, where he was, like, pretending to have, like, seizures and stuff. And then the fact that these other guys thought it was funny and that's how he could get attention. I feel like that was kind of the only, I don't know if, I don't want to say that was the only reason they were hanging out with him. It's just because they thought he was funny or, like, he was a clown. But it's almost kind of like, I don't even know if they really liked him. They just kept him around because he was like amusing or see what he was gonna do next.
But there's a lot of guys like that in high school.
Yeah, there are. I remember a couple guys like that as well.
It's a these guys are always a perfect storm of a bunch of different shit. It's not just one thing, you know. But what they usually have in common is that they're ignored. They're of no consequence. That's usually what it is. And evidently that must be more psychologically damaging than actually getting picked on. Serial killers usually aren't picked on.
No, although a lot of them are abused at home.
But it's usually like parents or families.
Yeah.
And it's different kinds of abuse. So,
I mean, and Jeffrey Dahmer was not, he was even kind of neglected at home.
Yeah.
It wasn't a terrible home life. There was like a lot of strife, like his parents breaking up and stuff, but they didn't like beat him or anything.
Yeah, and how they turn out usually depends on what kind of abuse it is. And neglect is a form of abuse.
It is.
And because he wasn't physically abused or anything, the neglect caused him to just become very perverted. He wasn't very violent, even as a serial killer. He just drugged people and then strangled them.
He just wanted the body.
He just wanted the body. He wasn't like a face-to-face.
He wasn't a process killer.
He wasn't a fighter. He wasn't a fighter.
He wasn't a process killer.
Right.
That's
so
what they call it. He didn't get off on
what he wanted was,
torturing people.
No. What he wanted was a damn sex doll. That's all he wanted. He wanted a sex doll. A real one.
That was alive and wouldn't leave him.
Yeah. Which is, that's some perverted shit.
But like you said, I like that you kind of talked about the cycle where he knew that there was something the matter with him. I was reading something earlier that, you know, everybody can talk about like the serial killer and the nature nurture thing. From what they've done of twin studies, which are, you know, admittedly limited, but they're talking maybe about 60% is genetic and then 40% environmental. You know, I know it's kind of like reductive to say that because, you know, genetic factors and environmental factors kind of like, you know, it's, they bounce off of each other. Like, you know,
If you got bad genes, you're up somewhere in Appalachia and that environment reinforces fucking the selection that's happening there.
Well, and
they kind of go together.
And I think what happened with Jeffrey Dahmer too, was that maybe genetically he had something wrong with him. And the fact that he had something wrong with him made people react to him in a particular way that made him, you know, kind of isolate himself even more because he, you know, felt like he was getting rejected or something like that, or I'm weird and they know it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that kind of causes you to like, you know, kind of go back farther into yourself. And you don't, and like I said, as much as they showed in this movie, and like I said, this movie, from what I know of Jeffrey Dahmer, is fairly accurate to what his upbringing was like. It seemed like at least his dad sort of made a little bit of effort to, you know, try to get him to come out of his shell, try to get him to be more social and like less awkward and less weird and stuff. But
It was too late.
Yeah. By that time he was already in high school. Yeah. I just feel like
puberty is always the key factor when it comes to male serial killers. If they go through puberty with these predilections, it's kind of ingrained in them from there on out. It becomes part of their sexual orientation. And by that time, he was dealing with all these dead bodies. When I was a little kid, me and all my friends were looking for dead stuff. But we're talking about 7 and 8,
yeah,
and
9 I feel like that's
old.
Something a lot of little kids do.
You kinda
natural to be interested
let's
in
go find a dead dog.
Death and gross things and stuff.
It's gross. It stinks, you know.
Yeah.
But usually, you know, boys are starting to get out of that around, you know, 10, 11. That's no longer interesting. Well, he was all into that shit. In high school, you know what I mean? And fucking hit, that's getting kind of fused in with his sexual orientation. So,
and the fact that he was trying to come to terms with the fact that he was gay when that wasn't really as accepted back then, I feel like, when he was growing, particularly, you know, in the early 70s, particularly in Ohio. So I kind of feel like that was another thing, is he didn't really have an outlet for that either. And they show there's a very awkward, like, scene in this movie where, because, you know, it's very famously, like, he kind of got obsessed with this dude that would jog past his house a few times a week. And he was actually going to kill that guy. Like, he was, like, waiting for him one day with, like, a bat or something, and the guy didn't walk by. Now, I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but in the movie, he finds out that the guy that jogs past his house that he's obsessed with is actually the doctor of one of his high school friends. So he basically, like, kind of fakes an illness so he can go to this doctor and get the hernia test. So, because he wants the doctor to, like, hold his balls while he's coughing.
And the doctor fucking dropped his nuts on him, too. He's like, I know what you're doing. Remember that shit? Looking at him.
Well, because he had got a boner. They didn't show it, but it's like, that was the implication.
Must have been, yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? So the fact that he had to, like, go through all of these, like, kind of convoluted ways to, like, to get, you know,
action. He had to get gay action.
Right. Well, and I think that he didn't really understand it because, like I said, I think back then, growing up in the way that he grew up, I don't think he had any framework.
I don't know.
For that being 70s,
man.
Normal, quote unquote.
70s, there was a lot of gay action going on.
There was, but it's like, that's kind of like a big city thing. He grew up in kind of like
a... It had to have been his location. But, I mean, shit, man. Fucking, I can remember, you know, back in the 80s in high school, we had kids. We knew they were gay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody really fucked with them from what I remember. You know what I mean? We didn't really have proof, but you could tell. Another thing is that even back in military school, you know, when I was in, that was middle school for me. There were kids that were gay. They weren't having sex, but you could tell they were gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We weren't really sure what that was. We just admitted he's kind of a female acting. You know what I mean? Sissy. That's what we used to call him. Kind of a sissy guy.
That's what my grandma used to say.
He's like a sissy. That's what we used to say back then. But we didn't know what a gay kid was. But looking back on it, they were gay kids.
Yeah.
And they grew up, you know, fucking... whatever happened to that dude? Oh, yeah, he was gay. You know? So some people, I think it's some people, it's in them from birth. Even my grandmother said
I knew someone who was trans also in high school.
My grandmother came from fucking Depression era Mississippi. And a friend of the family, she said that she told me that kids were born that way, that everybody knew that kid was gay as soon as he could talk.
Yeah.
And that he was gay, grew up gay.
Yeah.
And nobody fucked with him even really about back then. Really, you know, the whole gay angle, according to at least my family lore, which I think it's a reliable barometer of what your average American mentality was. People even far as back as the 30s knew all about gay stuff, knew that it existed. They knew gay people. They didn't really care if you were gay. What they didn't want is they didn't want you outwardly expressing it. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't. It was kind of like a don't ask, don't tell policy. They knew about it, but they just didn't want people wearing it on their sleeves or open. They wanted people kind of closeted.
Yeah.
And I think it was just part of the social order. But, well, shit, you know what I mean? Just look at Star Wars, you know, C-3PO, you got a gay robot. I mean, they got a gay robot. Fucking, you know, I didn't realize that was a gay character. I didn't realize it was a gay character at the time. But looking back on it, of course that's a gay character.
Yeah.
Of course C-3PO is gay. I mean, he's not sexual. He's asexual. So they got a gay guy fucking playing the role. They were going to originally have somebody else do the voice acting, and the voice actor that did it says, you know, why don't you just have Daniels himself do it? His voice is perfect for that role.
So they, and they it gave, was.
And it was. And I think it's always been around. You can look back at the silver screen of the 20s and the 30s, and there's obviously gay characters in there.
Yeah.
Despite the way they talk and the way they act, there's plenty of swish. And evidently, everybody knew what that was. They just didn't openly discuss it.
Yeah.
It was just something you saw.
Mecca said R2-D2 was 3PO's butt plug.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was a pretty big butt plug.
It was a Laurel and Hardy thing.
It was
a Laurel and Hardy thing. And there was kind of like, those two guys were not gay. But they were kind of like a gay couple.
Yeah.
And in real life, they were real close friends. They were married to women, but
yeah,
they were real close friends. It was almost kind of like a celibate, or a platonic gay.
I feel like anybody that works together to that extent and is that close friends and stuff like that, it does have you know, aspects of like a romantic relationship.
Yeah,
that's just kind of.
There's a real good movie about them. We saw it in the theater.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and those dudes, they were straight. Yeah. They were married to beautiful women. Both of them were.
Yeah.
But it was almost kind of like they were... almost kind of like they were married to each other. Their yeah. wives almost said that we're basically kind
well,
of
well, yeah, they
that.
Basically said that too, like it's the way like, they sniped at each other yeah, all the time.
They were like a married couple.
Yeah. It was like very, very funny.
Yeah. So it's always been around. It goes back to fucking forever. And I think in Dahmer's case, I think it's an excuse. I don't think it was... it may have been a problem.
I think it was a problem to him. That's,
to him.
Well, that's what I meant.
But I don't think he would have... I don't think he'd have had a big problem. You know, there was already a lot of that going on. It was all cool in music. You know, David Bowie and fucking all this shit was going on. And it's the 70s was a pretty sexually liberated time.
It was.
And
but like I said, I think it was just because of his isolation.
Felt, yeah, I think the reason...
And it wasn't... I don't think it was just his sexuality. No. I think it was him, like, wanting to play with dead things.
That's
all the time
what I was
going to
say. I don't think it was the fact that he felt different that he was gay. He felt different that he was gay and that he was a necrophile.
Yeah.
That's what he was worried about.
Yeah.
If you ask me. And he wanted to fucking bash people over the head while they were jogging so he could get their hands on their bodies.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So that, yeah, that's not normal.
He was like a sexual Dr. Frankenstein trying to get your dead body and turn you into a living corpse.
Yeah, which
that's
fucked up.
And that you're going to feel fucking weird when you think, you're going to realize you're very different than other people. So... no.
Like I said, it's weird, though, that they have that much self-awareness that they know that's bad and they should keep it to themselves. But
I always thought, when it came to Dahmer, I always thought the gay angle was a fucking cop-out. It wasn't that. It was that he was a gay necrophile.
Yeah.
That's why it was hard on him.
Somebody mentioned earlier that in interview with Jeffrey Dahmer's dad, Lionel, that he said he wasn't initially alarmed by Jeffrey being interested in all these, you know, all the dead stuff, was because he's like, oh, you know, maybe he'll go into sciences. Yeah. It'll be like a biology or something like that. Which I guess, like I said, it's kind of hard. And I know it's easy to like blame the parents. Why didn't they see it and everything? And, you know, yes, a lot of serial killers had fucked up parents that were abusive and stuff. On the other hand, if you have a kid and the kid is kind of weird or whatever, I don't think 99% of parents would not occur to them that their kid might end up being a serial killer, especially in the 70s. I feel like nowadays maybe because you know, serial killer shit is just like so inundated in the culture. It's like as soon as, you know, you have a kid and they do like some fucked up kid, you're like, whoa, serial killer. You know what I mean? They even made movies about it. But I feel like in the 70s, that wouldn't really occur to you. I mean, if you had a kid and he just did weird shit like that, maybe he, you know, and his dad didn't seem like the brightest bulb either. So he was just kind of like, oh, well, he's just interested in the sciences. That's all. And it did, he did actually go to the lengths of, you know, because Jeff had this little shed like out in the woods where he would go and do like all his experimentation, and he'd go and like pick up dead animals and, you know, dissolve them in acid so he could have the bones and stuff. And his dad at one point did actually go and like tear all the shit down and throw all his shit away and like be like, you know, go be a normal person. But like you said, I think at that point it was too late for him to be a normal person. Like somebody should have stepped in a lot sooner than that when he was like fucking 17 years old, because by that point,
I think it's too late.
That ship had sailed.
Yeah, by the research that I've done and reading books that the FBI has written about them, usually it's pretty much cast in stone by the time they hit about 14.
Yeah, like you said, once they go through puberty.
About 14. They're either going to be a serial killer or they're not by that age. After 14, it's almost too late. It's part of them.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see that. So, you know, that's one thing that a lot of people talk about when they talk about Dahmer particularly, but, you know, more than other ones like Ted Bundy and shit like that, he was just like a fucking straight up sociopath who had a totally normal upbringing and still ended up being a fucking psycho.
Now, but whatever sexual or that serial killer sexual orientation, there's a lot of guys have that, but never kill anybody too. That's something else that you have to.
Yeah.
The guys that actually do kill people, it's probably a small minority of them. I bet you it's probably less than a quarter of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare.
It's probably it's probably only 5. How much I bet? You know, I got no data or anything, but it's probably about 5%. That's what I'm imagining.
I would be surprised if it was even that much.
Yeah, I think most of them are like that, but they don't ever act on it because of self-preservation. They have some kind of discipline. Well, they fantasize about it. And then when they get to a certain age, it burns out of them. Because it's pretty well established that a serial killer himself will kind of burn out.
Yeah.
As his fucking testosterone drops, his sex drive drops, and his ability to fantasize about this kind of goes away. So, and I think that's around 50.
Yeah.
I think it was the average.
Yeah, you don't usually see too many serial killers still active after that
age. At 40, it starts to taper off, and then around 50, it's pretty much gone, usually. If they live that long.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it, and we've talked about a whole bunch of them, is they usually start real young. Even if they don't start, like, killing people young, they'll usually start, like, torturing animals and setting fires and shit like that when they're kids. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's like a red flag. But yeah, so a lot of people, like I said, have talked about Jeffrey Dahmer. If someone had intervened before he was a teenager, you know, would he have turned out to be a serial killer still? You know, obviously there's no way of knowing that. But, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting, like, way to approach it. And I'm kind of glad that they made this movie and they just, like I said, they end it right when he's picking up Stephen Hicks, who was his first victim. And then it just has like a thing that says about, you know, the 17 people that he killed. But it's just, it's interesting that they chose to just show what, you know, what this, what it's like a monster emerging, like somebody said in the comments, because you know what he did later on. I don't think, like I said, I don't think the movie is necessarily asking you to like empathize with him or go, oh, poor Jeffrey. It's not really doing that. It's just kind of like showing what he was like. And it's just, it's almost like a cautionary tale or like an instructive kind of, hey, maybe you want to watch out for people like this or someone needs to intervene or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I got that more than anything. But like I said, it's a really good movie. The acting's all really good. You know, all the performances are good. It was that kid that was in it that played Jeffrey Dahmer was like phenomenal. I had never seen him. I didn't know he was like a Disney Channel guy because he's like apparently like really well known for that. And that was why they wanted him, like I said, because it was like cast against type and because he was so familiar for being like so wholesome and everything. And they thought it would be interesting for him to play a serial killer. And he did like an amazing job. He looks a lot like him. And he even had the walk down. You know, the way that weird way that he walked.
Hernandez is asking about what he did. Yes, he was trying to make like living zombie sex dolls.
Yeah.
He was injecting fucking Drano into holes into people's heads. He was trying to eat out certain parts of their brain using Drano. Was it Drano or was it, no, it was, was it Drano or was it
Windex or something like that?
It might have been
like
dishwashing something. Soap, something like that.
I mean, like his dad chemicals. Was a chemist, so he was like super into like experimenting with different chemical cocktails.
Yeah, he was a shitbird, you know. He wasn't particularly violent, though. He usually killed him just by strangulation. He wasn't into torture. He didn't even like to see him suffer from what he said. He wasn't into that. He was just trying to render them into a living sex doll.
Yeah, that's essentially right.
He more wanted him in a coma. He wanted him in a perpetual coma.
Yeah, so he just wanted to be able to do whatever he wanted to them and that they couldn't leave.
You see, here's the thing. He liked to do dudes in the ass, but he didn't want it done to him. That was one of the reasons why he wanted him that way.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Okay, so.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, so the best, and every time he hooked up with a dude when he later on when he went to school, I think when he went to college, they wanted to flip flop. See, he didn't want to flip flop.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, he didn't want to flip flop. He, you know, he was just gonna flip it out of his pants and flop it down in your mouth or something. But he wasn't gonna flip flop like that. You know?
Oh, I haven't heard that phrase in a while. He used to say that all.
He said all the time.
I just
You're gonna flip flop? No, I'm gonna flip it out of my pants and flop it in your fucking mouth. Come on. You see that shit at the club, the dude's trying to get bad with me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so,
fucking army sexual humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Don't ask, don't tell shit. All that bisexual stuff. I buy you some shit and we get sexual.
There's another shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
I buy you shit and then we get sexual. That's a good one.
Okay, so What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So if you haven't seen My Friend Dahmer, like I said, it took us like fucking 3 or 4 years to get around to seeing it, but we finally did. Yeah. And it's really, really good. Like I said, it's not a horror movie. It's more like a coming of age drama, but it has like kind of horror-esque elements just because you know that the dude ended up a serial killer. And, you know, he does some kind of fucked up shit in it. But yeah, it's really, really good. It's on Hulu at the moment if you want to watch it. So check it out. And we will be back tomorrow talking about yet another movie. So, as usual, thanks for dropping by, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.